Friends with Brews.
Peter, I am putting an end to 2022 by declaring it to be the year of the mega pickle.
What, the actual?
I know that you listen to ATP, so you should know at least half of it. But this year, late this year, John Chidji resurrected the sound clip of Vic Hudson trying to say megapixel.
12 megapixel.
And then, to make it even funnier, in the very last ATP, here was John Siracusa.
60 megapixel.
It's infectious. John Siracusa sounds like he was drinking a beer that time. Maybe we should have him on the podcast.
60 megapixel.
I don't think he's a drinker. I really don't.
Let's find out. But I'm a drinker. I admit it.
And more power to him. Okay. Now that you've admitted you're drinking, tell us what you are drinking and why you are drinking.
I am about to open up a Golden Road Brewing Guava Cart.
I noticed that it was exceptionally green, that can.
This is the same company that makes Mango Cart.
Are guavas green or are they yellow?
I don't know.
I don't either. That can is green and pink.
The beer can is green. That's all you need to know. So, yeah.
Got it.
So, this is Guava Cart. It is not as sweet as Mango Cart, but it is 1% higher alcohol than Mango Cart. So, it's a wheat beer. It's definitely a summery kind of thing. It's made with guava and passion fruit, though. So, this is a wheat ale. It's not super sweet, but then again, I haven't had it in a few weeks, and I've only had it a couple times. So, let me take a sip before I review it. It is not sweet at all, but it has a nice guava flavor to it. And it's got the slightest hint of bitterness at the very end for only a moment. Not unpleasant like most IPAs, for example. And then it's gone.
The slightest hint of bitterness. So that's slightest like me hint. With Google Docs. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's extreme rage
that's
and bitterness.
Extreme rage and bitterness. Right. Totally the opposite end of the spectrum. On the tiki scale, you are on this side over here, nightmare. And this is way closer to best I love you. So definitely. Why am I drinking this? Because you said, Peter, I want to record before Thursday. Preferably with a beer. I was like, okay, I'll drink a beer. So that's why I'm drinking this beer. What are you drinking?
Here's my Get Drunk Quick kit.
That looks like your daughter's lunchbox or backpack from when she was in third grade.
This is the only thing I have that's not gigantic for keeping stuff cool.
So it really is her lunchbox from when she was in the third grade.
No, it's her lunchbox from now.
I didn't realize she was in the third grade.
No, this is a space. This is, oh my God. You don't have a girl. Here's what I'm drinking.
Oh, peanut butter.
Okay, here's peanut butter milk stout. Belching Beaver peanut butter milk stout.
Okay, that doesn't sound creepy. That just sounds foul, but okay.
Yeah, well, it's better than what I put in the show notes because I couldn't remember the belching part, so I put something beaver peanut butter milk stout. Oh my God.
Oh boy. Yeah,
okay, so I thought I had had that on this podcast before, but when I used the incredible search tool that I implemented on our website, which by the way, I really am glad, even if no one else gets any use out of it, I'm so glad I put that on there.
I use it because I think you and I are probably the biggest users of that because we're like, wait, did I have this already? Did we talk about this? Have I reviewed this? Did I like this?
But when I search for either Belching or Beaver, nothing comes up. So apparently I did not have this on the podcast. And by the way, I don't recommend, only on our website is searching for the word Beaver going to be safe to do at work.
You know, there are probably a lot of park rangers, dam administrators. Oh, not to be confused with those damn administrators.
Oh, they're all damn administrators.
Wildlife conservationists who probably search for beavers a lot. So while you're pouring that, I would like to personally give a shout out to one Mr. Vic Hudson and thank him for remembering and reminding you about an app called Shush.
Shush your mouth.
Because thanks to this app called Shush.
Shush your mouth.
You don't know it, but I have had to cough and sneeze twice during this recording, and you have not heard it.
Right. In the past, Vic, Peter literally had to... Peter wears baggy pants. He had to pull his pants over his head.
That's not true. That is not true at all. I had to pull my pants over the microphone.
Oh, that explains some things I saw.
Yeah, so I would wear my old pants back from when I weighed about 200 pounds, so I'd have enough bagginess, and I would loosen them up.
I don't believe you ever weighed 200 pounds.
I weighed 212 pounds.
Hey, I got up to 230 at one point in my life.
Yeah, but you're like an inch taller than me, so it's okay.
True. You're right.
Cheers.
Let's not go back there. Cheers. Oh, here. This one.
Clink. You need a clinking sound.
By the way, this magnetic clip that holds my phone to the top of my MacBook Pro is why my camera's off to the side, because my MacBook Pro sits off to the side of my studio display. But I'm getting a similar thing for the studio display. So eventually I should be able to look you directly in the eyes, or you should be able to look me in the eyes. But I'm going to have to adjust the height on this thing.
You could also get a stand for your iPhone.
And... yes, and I have done that in the past, and having that extra crap on my desk that I don't want most of the time, but
no,
do
you
want sometimes?
Mount it, like mount it as a mounting for, as a webcam.
No, no, these do mount it as a webcam. That's what these do. They clip it onto your monitors as a webcam.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Your phone.
No, yeah, that's what the, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, so this is your phone I'm seeing you at?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I did not know that.
That's what I'm talking about.
So you could do what I said.
What I'm saying is I have on the way a Belkin magnetic mount that will put it on the studio display, which is in front of me.
Excellent.
And that way I don't have to use the one that clips it to the laptop, which is beside me.
Got it. So you're just doing exactly what I said. I'm just not paying any attention to you.
You're not paying one...
because I'm drinking.
Hey, wait. I said beaver about 20 times. Do I have to go back and...
I think so. Especially up in the Pacific Northwest. I think you have them there.
Yeah, no kidding. Has no one heard of OSU? Of course, every time anybody says OSU, they mean Ohio State University. But that is not OSU. That is O.
It's also not OSI.
SU.
So guava cart versus something beaver peanut butter milk stout.
Belgian beaver.
What's the alcohol content on that one?
Good question. Dear listener.
That's why I asked.
I'm pretty much in the dark. It's 12 fluid ounces. 5.3%.
Okay. Oh, see, all of the like the milk stouts and the peanut butter stouts that I've had are always like super high alcohol by volume. So I would like to try something like that.
This is the only peanut butter milk stout that I've tried that I can endure. Most of them aren't that great. And I don't know why. I've had a couple others hoping I would find something. This is pretty good. It's just, I will definitely give this a thumbs up, but there's something about it that seems slightly bitter to me, kind of like you and Google Docs. And
dude, you're the one who was cursing up a storm at Google Docs
today. I'm extremely bitter, but you must be slightly bitter. Come on, you can't deny it. It is kind of a pain in the ass.
At what? Google Docs?
Yeah, at Google Docking. Google Docs is a pain in the ass at Google Docking.
Honestly, Google Docs has been okay to me. I don't do much with it, though, and that's probably why.
Exactly, yeah. Don't use it, and you will love it. Key to every computer technology.
Yeah, it's just like a car I had. It was like, I think it was my third car. Maybe it was my fourth car. I don't remember. Third car. I think it was my third car. I had a Mitsubishi Galant. And
I know what
as
those
long
are.
As I wasn't out there driving it was great.
Was it that it was breaking down, or it was just
constantly.
The most...
constantly.
And it probably wasn't that much fun to drive either, because I don't know what it was about Mitsubishi.
Actually, it was.
Really?
It was fun to drive. Yeah. Well, it was all-wheel drive, and it was turbo. Uh-huh. It was nice. It was.
But didn't it have a weird interior? Because there's something about Mitsubishi where early in their existence, they set off and said, we're just going to have the weirdest designs you've ever seen.
I don't remember that. Now, this was like 24 years ago, though. So it's been a while. So I don't really remember. Maybe even more. Maybe 25, 26 years ago. So no, it was even more than that. It was the early 90s. This was closer to 30 years ago. So I don't remember the interior. What I do remember was the thing was like a rocket sled. I mean, it took off. It didn't accelerate as fast as my Dodge Daytona did. Mm-hmm. But it handled a lot better. But it was constantly breaking down. I don't even remember what was wrong with it. But there was one quarter where it spent more days in the shop than I had it driving it.
I think it was a Mitsubishi. I think that's was wrong with it.
That's probably why. I'll drink to that.
What you said there reminded me. We are at the point in our lives, Peter, where, well, at least for me, anytime I think something happened X number of years ago, it's not just 10 years that I have to add to it. I have to add at least 20. And there are a couple things that I have to add 30 years to, and that scares the...
but Jesus.
Belching beaver right out of me.
The Bajelching Bajeevers.
Yeah, the Bajelching Bajeever. It scares the Bajelching Bajeever right out of me. That's a pretty good show title, too. The Bajelching Bajeever.
Bajelching Bajeever. I like that. Bajesus.
Mm-hmm. But I've already got the Year of the Megapickle.
I think we're good with Year of the Megapickle. I like that. Yeah. 56 Megapickle.
So now that you've talked about ShushApp and Vix, you know what's embarrassing is I actually used to use ShushApp, but at some point there was some XLR mic I was using that it just didn't work on. It just couldn't see the microphone, so I quit using it. So I kind of forgot all about it. But I should have known that for a USB mic like yours, it would be perfect. So anyway, my apologies.
It works great for me. Yeah. I mean, I've used it at least 4 times. So I have successfully booked my vacation once again for the second time.
I'm relocating
to Costa Rica, and I booked two Airbnbs.
Right.
2 weeks in one place, 2 weeks in another place.
Mm-hmm.
But why? Because, you know, like, well, if I don't like a place, you know, I'm like, I can probably tough this out for a couple of weeks, but toughing it out for a whole month, I'm like, I'm not sure about that. So I figured I'd split my stay up into two. The first one canceled on me. So I was like, huh.
Oh.
So I was like, okay, so I got to find other plans. And coincidentally, a friend of mine just got back from Costa Rica. She was there for a week and she used this travel agency to like book her hotels and like zip lining and rafting and kayaking and a catamaran tour and other things. Mm. And I was just like, all right, that sounds kind of cool. So I said, well, let me check that out. So I checked it out and I was like, you know what? I'm going to do that. It wasn't really that much more expensive because now apparently, you know, Airbnb prices have gone up to where they're like fairly competitive to or comparable to hotels. So hotels are competitive again.
Right.
So I was like, well, in that case, let me see what's going on. And, you know, this way I've got, you know, someone else cleans the place up and they include breakfast and a driver and they'll like take care of my rental car for me when I'm done. And so I was like, what the heck? You know what? Let's let someone else worry about the details. So I did. So I just booked that this morning.
Interesting. Have you seen pictures of this place? Is it?
Lots of places. They all look the same. Costa Rica is just like lush jungles everywhere.
No. I'm talking about the hotel.
No, I'll be sleeping out in the jungle.
Oh, okay.
It's an outdoor hotel.
You have a pillow of bugs.
Very good for your spine.
I don't know what Costa Rica's like, but to me, a lot of hotels are kind of like, whatever. Like, they're not the most inspiring. Their feng shui is off, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet on feng shui in a place like Costa Rica. So, you know, that's... Well,
so, when we go to the Oregon coast, there is a place we like to stay that is like staying in little cottages. They're usually multi-story, but it's like a little cottage. It's like a little house. It's got a real kitchen. It's got real bed. It's like a real house. As opposed to staying in the hotels, because there aren't any hotels that I personally enjoy at all on the Oregon mm-hmm. coast that I've found so far. They're all generic. They're all blah. I don't know. There's just something about staying in them that just doesn't... It's great if you're never in the room and you don't care. But if you're going to spend some time in there, or you want to eat in there, or you want to hang out with your family in there, mm-hmm. no, they're horrible. And so I'm just wondering if it's going to be something like that for you. And my presumption is you are going to spend some amount of time in there since you're there for a month or 2 months.
Well, I'm only here for a couple of weeks. Couple weeks in the hotels. And it's 4 different hotels over the course of 2 weeks. So, you know, if I don't like it, I only have to not like it for a couple of days. So I'm not really...
So basically every other day you're changing rooms?
Every few days. So yeah.
Every third day, we'll say.
Yeah, we'll see. Okay. So, yeah. Anyway, so that's that.
That is interesting. That's kind of a bummer, to be honest. But I don't want to make you... No, I don't want to plant that in your head.
Why is that a bummer?
No, it's great.
Because I'm going away on vacation for a month. That's a bummer.
No, I would rather stay in the B&B than the hotel.
Oh, well, I've got one for those for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm totally cool with this. It'll be fun.
Okay.
I figured it's okay. This way, you know, to get my feet under me, learn a little bit about the culture, etc., and have a place to come back to.
And you're starting off with that, and then you get the presumably nicer place. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's that's pretty cool. I'll drink to that here. You can have a beer glass in your camera. Boing, boing.
What else? What else is going on? We talked about the Shush app again. Thanks, Vic.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about some apps that a local Portlander, Mario Guzman, makes, and I'll put links in the show notes, but he basically hates the current state of Apple design. He's a little more extreme than me. He likes everything retro, and I think current macOS is fine, except for a few apps. And I will agree, the music app is pretty boring, and I will agree especially that the small music widget in the current music app literally seems like a, we have to have one, but who cares, and we will never use this ourselves. It's just horrible. It is not something that a company like Apple should feel at all good about, let alone even just, we'll get back to it later. They should feel shame and regret. So anyway, Mario, being a programmer, has created some music widgets. And when you're using the music app, you can use his music widgets to give yourself a more retro, more beautiful experience. And I have a link to those, and you should go take a look at them. They're free. He's not asking for any money. All he's asking is for you to be able to enjoy your mini widget again. And if you live in Portland, by the way, he's got the best transit app for Portland. I use it all the time. I introduced it to some people at work, and they thought it was the greatest. It's called PDX Transit. You can get it for iOS and watchOS, and also the Macintosh. So you can plan your transit trips. I used it just the other day when I went to the movie theater that I told you all about last time, and or the time before, whenever. And yeah, it's great. So go to marioaguzman.github.io and then find him on Mastodon't.
Mastodo or Mastodon't?
Masto maybe. Find him on Masto maybe and tell him that you like him because he's a good guy.
So how's your Mastodon experience? You seem to be enjoying it.
I am. At first, I was like, oh, this is going to be painful. And then I was like, hey, this is pretty good. I kind of like this because a whole influx of people are coming. And now the old-time nerds are fighting with the newer people about whether or not there should be allowed to be quote posts, quote toots. And there's, I don't know, it's this whole thing where...
Does the platform support it?
No, the platform does not support it, and it was a choice not to. But third-party clients are implementing it. It's going to happen whether they like it or not. So what they should probably do is get their asses off their high horses and their soapboxes and just figure out a better way to implement it for everyone involved and that'll be consistent. So I can't wait until those people lose the battle. That's the part of Mastodon that I don't like, but it will go away over time.
Oh, there you go.
But it's still not... Like right now, if I want to know... If I drive out of my driveway and drive down the street, is my car going to slide off a hill? That kind of stuff is still not on Mastodon. And I will be amazed if it comes there anytime soon. Do you know what I'm talking about? Local news accounts, local sources of information that you can find without even trying on Twitter. That kind of stuff you can't find on Mastodon. And I'm not going to use Twitter just for that. I'm just not going to use Twitter at all right now. I just don't want to.
You're probably better off not using Twitter. So I have looked and I got notifications the other day. I had to reinstall the IFT app on my phone for something, I forget what, and I got a notification that, hey, you just posted a new tweet, and I still have a recipe so that anytime we'd post a podcast or a blog post, it would cross-post that over to Twitter. And so I used that as an excuse to finally learn how to use webhooks in IFT and associated that with my Mastodon account.
I don't remember. Is it 25 T's? It's one F and three T's, right?
Three T's, correct. Yes. Yeah. It's 25 T's minus 22. Yeah. So I set those up and it wasn't all that hard. Definitely it was harder than just saying connect to Twitter.
Right.
You know, I had to set up an API key and pick the permissions that it had, but that wasn't all that bad. Now, that said, I don't know if it's actually doing anything yet because I did say...
Because you're not checking.
Well, I told it check and nothing happened, but sometimes IFT doesn't actually check and do anything when you tell it to. So we'll know when you post the latest episode of friendswithbrews.com if... that recipe works, because should get a note in my Mastodon. And then what I did is it was also set to post to Twitter. I changed the recipe so it posts to Twitter saying, I just posted on Mastodon, but it doesn't actually include the post. So if you want to go see what it was, come on over to Mastodon if Elon will even let you.
I actually approve of that because, as you know, I have philosophical issues with people who cross route stuff to one platform, but they're never on that platform. They never engage in that platform. That just seems like a dickish thing to me. It's like, if you don't want to use that platform, but you're willing to throw stuff at people who still are there, that just seems jerky.
Yep. Oh, I take that back. There was one more thing that is also that also auto feeds into Twitter. Any new post on Twitter is going great.com. I also post that in my Twitter feed.
Yep. That is brilliant. Oh my God. Now I have to put the link to Twitter is going great in here.
Yep.
Oh my God. So, Peter, so that is brilliant. Go. That is genius.
I have my moments. I have my moments. We're friends for a reason. I don't just ignore you all the time on the podcast. Sometimes I contribute something useful.
No, that's hilarious. So the disingenuous thing is, like, I saw Ronnie post on Mastodon. He said that he turned off boosts, which are basically the retweet equivalent.
Okay.
Because he just doesn't like seeing all the things that other people boost. And I kind of gave him a little grief about that. I was like, why would you follow people and then you can't stand what they're saying? Like, just unfollow the people is my opinion. Anyway.
Yeah.
He turned off boosts, which is fine. I get, look, it's an option. It's there. If he doesn't like people's boosts, he can do that. But then later I saw him boosting someone else's stuff. It's like, okay, now you've gone too far. You don't want to see boosts from other people. So you've said, but you'll boost stuff for other people to have to read. What a hypocrite. I was just going to say,
it sounds slightly hypocritical.
Yeah. And I love you, Ronnie, but that is a dick move. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's hypocritical anyway. I don't know if it's a dick move, but it's a hypocritical move. That's for sure.
For sure. It's just easier for me to say dick right now because I've had a bunch of beer and no food.
Well, that'll do that.
You know what? I was going to have Mary and Berry pie, and I forgot to bring it up with me.
Ooh.
Because my wife got me a farm fresh Mary and Berry pie. It's not the vegan stuff that we had, but it's just as good. It's non-vegan Mary and Berry pie.
Non-vegan Mary and Berry pie.
AKA Mary and Berry pie.
Yeah, exactly. Whenever you talk about that, though, I always think about the former mayor of Washington, D.C. So I was like, wasn't his name Mary and Berry?
Yeah, but see here...
Yeah, so that's what I always think of when you talk about that.
But in the Pacific Northwest, or at least in Oregon, the Mary and Berry that we think of is the one that goes in pies and is good.
Well, good for you in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, if I thought about the mayor when I ate that pie, I wouldn't be so fond of it.
Yeah,
wasn't he the guy that was in a hotel room with cocaine and some
Did some things, as I recall. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Not all Mary and Berries, Peter.
Not all Mary and Berries. Oh, dear Lord.
We started a new hashtag.
Oh, brother.
Oh, my God. Okay, I love that. So, anyway, do you want to talk about this Eufy thing? Do you care?
Yeah, I do care because I am personally interested in this because Eufy is one of the brands that I was looking at because I eventually will have to replace my home cameras. So I have three cameras around the house, some indoor, some outdoor. And the reason that I bought them is because they, like Eufy, claim to not upload anything to their servers. But they do integrate either with FTP or Dropbox or I think Google Drive. And I have them set to upload to Dropbox. But the manufacturer apparently has now gone out of business. So, oh, look, you're even more invested than I am. So the manufacturer of my camera is now apparently gone because the App Store hasn't been updated in years. Their website doesn't go anywhere, can't buy their product anymore. And so I'm a little concerned about that. But, you know, I'm like, they're still working for right now. But I had been looking at Blink, I'd been looking at Ring, I'd looked at Nest. And I was like, do I want to give Amazon and Google my cameras? Not really. So then there's Eufy. Now, why might somebody want to go with Eufy and not the ones that I mentioned?
Well, Eufy cameras are pretty convenient. They work well and they integrate with HomeKit. A lot of people like Eufy because they're a decent performance for the price. And as you know, from looking at all your options, home cameras are bloody expensive.
Mm.
It costs a lot of money to get like even a handful around the house. So Eufy, apparently, although they say that they're not uploading stuff to their servers, they claim that their cameras are local storage only. But indeed, they have been found to be uploading identifiable footage to the cloud. And people can even point VLC at it and watch what's happening. So in theory, I guess it would be possible for other people to get access to it. But mainly, for sure, it's going to Eufy. And Eufy is owned by Anker, which, you know, to be fair, I've always liked Anker stuff. I've got a lot of Anker cables, Anker chargers. They're, you know, as far as I know, they're a good brand. And as far as I know, Eufy's a good brand. I've always liked their stuff. But let's see, I think they're talking about how if you know the serial number, you can figure out the address of a camera's feed based on the camera's serial number, and the serial numbers aren't super long, so they're easy to figure out.
Yeah.
So anyway, the main security threat here is that because they're transmitting stuff and it's not just local,
uh-huh.
A, what are they doing with it? And B, other people can also potentially access it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's a concern.
Anker initially called it a misunderstanding.
Cough.
Right. And then basically what they did is started changing their terms of service instead of actually fixing the problem. So now their terms of service don't promise as much privacy as they used to.
Hmm.
So it's something worth looking at. I have links in the show notes. If you have Eufy cameras or you're thinking about Eufy cameras, understand what's happening so that you know whether it's an issue for you or not. I will say that this issue does not affect anybody who is using them with HomeKit and has the HomeKit secure video feature enabled for those cameras.
Okay.
Because that only all that video gets handled by Apple at that point. And that's what I do. So I don't really care about this that much. What I will do is keep watching to make sure that there are no more occurring developments that make me think that, okay, this could be a problem for me, even though I am using HomeKit secure video. So it's not that I don't care. It's just that as far as I know, it doesn't affect my use case, but I will mm-hmm. continue watching this space for sure.
Watch this space. Yeah. And I don't know. You know, I'm like, this is a concern because you buy these things thinking that it's going to be secure. You know, you think that they're not going to share my data with anyone. They're not going to share my video with anyone. Oh, they just did. And how are you supposed to know until some security researcher, you know, finds it out? Like, well, I mean, you could put a packet capture and sniffer on your network and just watch it for how long until you gain a level of confidence. You could also lock it down, you know, firewall the thing down so it can't go anywhere else. So there's that.
And then you could see, does that break functionality? And if so, why? What is it doing? Why does it need that access? Yeah, for sure.
Yep. Yep.
That's one of the reasons why whenever people say, oh, well, Apple says they don't take this stuff off device, but they really do. You know, if they did, at some point, somebody would probably figure it out. But it's not like these people went out and bought some cheap generic brand X camera and then they were stunned to find out that it was transmitting stuff to the cloud. No, this is supposedly a good brand that you can trust. They've made a lot of things. People trust them. And then they do this. And instead of really responding in a proper way, they're like, oh, yeah, it's a big misunderstanding. By the way, we're deleting our terms of service that promise you privacy. Don't look over here.
Yeah, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, so yeah, that's not the way that you want a company to behave, right?
Right. A lot of times it's not the incident or the thing itself. A lot of times mm-hmm. it's more about how does the company respond.
Right. Now, to that end, you have recently gotten on my case to reconsider my password manager.
Well, it's just that somebody on Mastodon posted a link to all of the last past incidents over the past few years, and there have been mm-hmm. like five or six notable ones over past several years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking maybe a 6 to 10 year span. I don't even remember. I don't even know how long they've been around.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, they did lose master keys. They did lose master passwords because unlike 1Password, 1Password doesn't have any access to your master password. They just don't have it. That's you. Mm-hmm. Only you have that. And there are some other differences, too, with how 1Password does their stuff. But my main problem with LastPass is they keep having these little oopses, and they keep, you know, my concerns are more about the company itself. And then also reading on Mastodon, as you know, big security culture there now, following some of those people and reading some of the things that they've had to say about it, they're not super impressed either with a lot of the technical things that LastPass mm-hmm. is doing, not just its response to this. And so... Mm-hmm. that's why it was more of my sense that, boy, LastPass keeps having stuff happen to him. And I get the problem with switching. When you've got all that stuff in one place, it's super hard to move it over to another place.
It shouldn't be that hard, I think. So I've been using LastPass, and it's been several years right now. I only started paying for it a couple of years ago.
So presumably you have a ton of stuff in there.
I do. But it shouldn't be all that hard to just export it out and then import it into 1Password or Bitwarden. Those are the two that I'm looking at.
See, I don't know if that's true. I haven't even looked to see if 1Password has an import.
They claim that they do, and they have specific instructions on how to do it from LastPass.
Oh, that's excellent. Okay.
It's pretty much export and then import.
I figured if they weren't all over that, they should be. But...
Well, you know, there's one password manager that's really, really freaking impossible to export out, and that's the Apple Keychain.
Yes.
That one's a pain to get people to, like, so if you want to move to a third-party password manager, ow.
Here's the other problem with Keychain, and this is the reason why I don't use Keychain, because Keychain has gotten more useful over the years. As you say, there are some limitations, such as how do I get my stuff out? Apple, once again, Peter, does not understand that some people have families. And yeah, I guess a lot of those people at Apple do have families, but they don't care because they go work 120 hours at a big ring spaceship thingy. And they don't see their family, and they don't care what their family does with technology. And when they come home, they just want them to be quiet so they can sit in front of the TV for 2 hours before they go to bed and then get up and go back to work again. Apparently, because there is no way to share things with a family member using Apple Keychain. And I have to have that.
Other than going in and manually decrypt the password, copy it, paste it, and send it to them in an encrypted message.
Right. And before the 1Password family shared plan, we kind of lived that lifestyle. Anyway, even though we were using 1Password, we would have to send stuff to each other. And 1Password had a way of sharing that was supposedly more secure than sharing plain text, but it still isn't what you want to be doing. But Apple just hasn't come up with something like that. And I saw, there was one of the Apple employees on Mastodon was like, hey, if you're using LastPass and you don't feel so good about it anymore, here's all the things Apple Keychain can do. And I'm like, yeah, but it can't understand that I have a wife. And I never got a response. But, it's like, work with me here, dude. So I guess that's my biggest beef with... I think Keychain is becoming more of a viable alternative for some people. But like mm-hmm. you said, it still has issues getting stuff in and out. And then if you have to share it with people, you're totally hosed.
Yeah. And that's the thing is like, I'd say for plenty of people, it's just fine. Just use... If you just want to use... if you're... It's just you on your Apple devices. Great. You're fine. You're good. You don't need anything fancy. So there you go.
So talk to me about, what's it called? Megadodo? Megatrend? What's the one that you like?
Bitwarden?
Yeah, Bitwarden, whatever. I don't know. So if I come up with a word, somebody will eventually fill in the right word. It's how I...
If I keep spouting out bullshit, eventually someone will correct me with something accurate. Fair enough. I know a lot of people, I work with a lot of people like that. So,
well, yeah. The difference is I'm not expecting anyone to believe that I think that's what it is. I'm just throwing out things until they correct it with the correct one.
Oh, I think most of these people know. They just flail and they'll just wait for someone smart to come along and, do their job.
Oh, I don't know. There are those types. More often than not, what I see is the people who want you to think they know what they're talking about.
No. I don't see that a lot. No.
Okay, so talk to me about Bitwarden.
So, well, no, the one thing that it has that 1Password and LastPass don't is that it can be self-hosted. That is the main reason that I'm considering that, because I work with certain organizations that would have that as a requirement.
Oh, okay.
So you could use it essentially like you would, say, KeePass. Except as I understand it, you can also run a full-on server and get all the server-hosted-based functionality. Just run it on your infrastructure, not somebody else's. So that's the only reason I'm looking at that.
Okay, so how would that work? Would this be like a public-facing server?
You could make it that way if you wanted to.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is it's a server that you can access from anywhere.
Right, well, but that's the thing is some of my clients might not want it accessible from anywhere. So they wouldn't do that.
No, but I'm asking how would it actually work?
Well, you would host it on your internal infrastructure and not host it just anywhere.
So it would only be applicable for... You could only use it for your work-related stuff at work or connected to work.
In that example, yes. I mean, there's nothing stopping me from spinning up a public, you know, instance in AWS and hosting up there if I wanted
Right, but then, so here's the thing that I always think about. Look at LastPass. Now, you are the guy that is responsible for not being LastPass.
Bingo.
I don't
exactly.
want that burden. I don't want
exactly.
that burden. That's why I pay 1Password to host the
right.
family vaults.
Yeah.
And
yep.
the minute I find out they're not trustworthy, I go away.
Yep. But that's the other part, too, is that if Bitwarden was to have a problem to make you want to leave them, it would have to be in the source code. Right. So because you're running their stuff, you're not using their infrastructure. So it'd have to be something wrong with their code that would cause you to leave them, as opposed to their shoddy practices and their own infrastructure issues that cause you to not like LastPass.
Right. I guess with that, I'd be less worried about Bitwarden software and more worried about my ability to adequately secure a server that happens to be yeah. hosting a password
absolutely.
Manager.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, on the work network, it would be less of a concern. You'd still obviously want it as secure as possible. But mm-hmm. if I have to connect to my VPN to get access to that, that's better than me putting something on a Linode and going, hey, you know what? This will be great. I'll use this for my passwords. Only am I in control of it. And then some hacker who's scanning ports finds a way onto my server, and there's my Bitwarden stuff.
What could possibly go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong, Peter? Yeah, that's interesting. That's a really cool option. And like you said, for certain circumstances, probably 100% necessary or required. Good to know. What are you going to do about your Dada? What's your Dada have right now?
He also has LastPass. We have the LastPass families.
So here's the other thing. Okay, now if you were to say to me, you know what? I've looked at LastPassword's problems. Okay, there's some problems, but it is not worth the grief of me trying to get my dad to switch something else. I would accept that as a completely valid answer, my friend. Because what a nightmare scenario that could be.
Here's the thing is that he doesn't even know how to use LastPass, so it's fine.
How does he get to his passwords?
He doesn't even remember his master password.
How does he get to his passwords?
I have the browser automatically fill them in for him.
Mm. So it could literally be anything and he wouldn't care.
He has no idea.
As long as some yep. magical thing puts the password in for him.
That magical thing is known as his son.
Okay, but here's the problem. 1Password might not be what you want to use then, because occasionally 1Password will ask you for your password.
Occasionally LastPass does as well. Usually like if the browser extension gets updated or something, and then he'll call me and say, hey, I don't remember the password. And since he has, you know, assistants come in and help him every now and then.
So Peter gets in his car and drives from Boston.
I don't put his password on a sticky note that he could, you know, they could also access, which oh. I'm sure if he knew the password, he would happily just give it to them because he doesn't know who not to trust.
Right. You could pretend to be anybody and call him and ask for his password.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, and as you see now, all the social engineering attacks are going to target my father. So.
Yes. By the way, you can locate Peter's dad here. Just kidding. You can't.
So out of all of the users on Strava, mm-hmm. I got my year in review.
Well, I'm pretty sure it's not Elon Musk following you because he does not look like a guy who uses Strava.
Strava tells me that I am now in their top 1% of activity.
Are you like the last guy on Strava? Is that what it is?
There are 95 million active users on Strava, so they claim.
So how do you get into the 1%? Did they tell you what that criteria is based upon?
They said by active. So I would say probably minutes of activity, maybe miles moved. I don't know.
Okay, so I guess what I'm wondering is, are half these people only logging certain events to Strava and they don't log their every single workout like you do?
Well, what you got to think about is that 1% of 95 million is 950,000. So I and 950,000 of my closest colleagues are top 1%. So when you look at it in raw numbers, it's not that impressive because there are a lot of us up there. But hey, still, 1%. Yeah. Top 1% on Strava, man.
I don't know what to think about that, Peter.
Lies, damn lies, and statistics.
Right, exactly. I think you should do some research and find out exactly what their criteria is, who your competitors for this 1% mark are, Top 1%. That's pretty high.
Well, my competitors are 950,000 other people. That's a lot. You want me to list them all?
Okay. And then there's like 9 billion lazy people on Strava, right?
95 million. Yes. 94 million lazy people. Yes. So, yes. There you go. So I'm in the top million of Strava. Let's just put it that way.
Okay.
But when we say that, it doesn't sound all that impressive.
Well, it does. I don't think I would log daily workouts to Strava. If I would log events, like if I ever did a century again or I did any kind of running event, I would log that.
I do like some of the stuff that they use, some of the stuff that they give. Now, with the last iOS update, Apple added a lot more useful data in the fitness app. But for one thing, it's just really nice to be able to view it on a big screen on a web browser and not have to stare at my little phone to try to figure stuff out. Strava lets me more easily import and export stuff. Strava lets me track stuff that I don't do exclusively with my Apple Watch. Now, that's not much,
yeah.
But it also does stuff like...
Hey, can you hold that up again?
Tracks your gear.
Oh, that is beautiful. Oh, my God.
Notice the new band I got, too.
Nice. I saw that. Band. Oh, my and God.
It's styling.
Peter, you are more attractive than ever.
Well, thank you. One thing that Strava does, though, is it tracks gear. So you can track your shoes and your bikes.
Yeah.
You know, so it's got some features that are pretty slick. So I'm liking it. And I pay for it. One of the things, oh, that's right, I have to reinstall on my phone. They have an app called Recover.
Why are you still paying? You're in the top 1%.
They have an app called Recover, which has rehab and prehab routines.
Oh.
And I realized I haven't been running that since I wiped my phone out.
They're going to say since you wiped your shoulder out.
No, that's been 3 years, brother. So,
I know, but telling you, those daily 100 pushups are not helping the shoulder, buddy. I'm just here to tell you. I'm sorry.
I haven't been doing 100 daily. Right. You need to listen to Blurring the Lines more often, my friend.
I did, and it sounded like you were just coming to the conclusion, finally, that maybe you shouldn't do all those pushups.
Well, I think that if I was doing them all slowly, well-formed, and listening to my body, then that they probably wouldn't be hurting, but I definitely have not been doing that.
I don't know if that's a given, because I was very careful about the way I did push-ups, and I listened to my body. I would only do as many as I didn't say I have to do X number or I'm going to die. I said, I'll do as many as it feels good. And still, it aggravated my shoulder like crazy. The only push-ups I can do at this point are incline push-ups. Like at a very, like, I'm talking 45 degrees at the most.
Yeah, wall presses if you have to.
Yeah. And I do other PT exercises too, of course. But I'm just saying, I don't know what it is about push-ups, but that particular motion, when I'm doing planks, I can feel that shoulder. And so like if I'm doing a plank and in yoga, and then you're supposed to lower yourself to the mat and then do your cobra or whatever. Is that what I'm thinking of? Cobra?
Chaturanga. You're thinking chaturanga, up dog.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're doing a classic vinyasa, that is, anyway.
When I do that, when I lower myself, I don't just lower myself. I can't. It will kill my shoulder. I have to let my knees touch before my upper body touches.
That's fine.
But that, I just know that particular motion, for whatever reason, it does a number on the rotator cuff. And I wouldn't be too surprised if it does a number on your rotator cuff, too.
Time will tell. We'll find out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because like I was saying on Blurring the Lines, that, you know, I haven't been doing a ton of upper body stuff for, you know, like even the yoga that I'm practicing, there's not a lot of vinyasa in it, not a lot of chaturanga. Haven't been doing a lot of boxing, not doing any jujitsu now for years, and I'm still feeling, you know, pain. Although, so day before yesterday, I drove to Vermont to see my parents for Christmas. The day before, I did three sets of side planks to mostly work on my low body, but also works on the shoulders. So my physical therapist incorporated that into my routine. My shoulder has not felt better like in the last couple of years since after doing just three rounds of side planks. So whatever that motion was, that was activating the stuff that I need in my shoulder to like alleviate all of the discomfort. So
interesting.
I may switch my daily push-ups to daily side planks instead.
That's not a bad idea. I will say, I think that part of the reason that my shoulder got the way it did is that for so long, I did nothing with upper body. Nothing at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started trying to do the push-ups. And I didn't just dive into it insanely, because I was weak to begin with, you know, relatively weak to begin with. But I probably did too much, and or I needed to be doing other things besides that in order to keep that from happening. Yeah, I just think it was a big mistake to do zero on upper body for all those years.
Well, I'm enjoying the fact that right now my PT exercises, I think I'm going to be able to turn them into my ongoing strength training routine.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm planning on doing these a couple times a week, maybe. It depends. You know, it depends on, you know, what my other routine is. But, you know, a little bit of upper body, keep things, you know, keep things toned and moving, and, you know, a lot more lower body. So,
yeah, I think some of mine I will as well. I think I just need to, there'll be some adaptation, right? Like there'll be more resistance for sure, or there'll be some slight changes, but the exercises themselves, I think they work pretty well.
Yep.
Well, we should go soon, but before we do, I want to play one clip for you, Peter. Do you know what this is?
I think I can tell by the line in the show notes. Yeah,
I think you have sent me some funny stuff lately, and I thought that we should do a little segment.
Yes, not everything is from John Syracuse, but
not everything can be Syracuse says. Yeah.
Right. Well, I was going to say, but those things that are from John Syracuse, those have a special place, and that special place is SyracuseSays.com. So the nuggets of wisdom that Scott and I deem to be nuggets of wisdom from arguably our favorite podcaster, John Syracuse, yes, go over to our tribute site, Syracuse Says. We should probably shout him out on Mastodon and let him know that that site exists.
I thought about that. And then he seems pretty easygoing. I've had super minor interactions with him in the past on social networks, but I'm almost afraid to let him know because I don't want him to think we're mocking him. And
I don't think it's it. It's a fun collection of things John Syracuse has said. These are great.
They're great. Okay. Well, anyway,
did you check the is ATP released under a Creative Commons license or what's? You
know? I doubt it. I doubt it very much. I wouldn't do that if I was them. They've got gold there, buddy.
So he could sue the hell out of us then.
Right, but I have on our FAQ that if at any time in the universe John Syracuse does not feel good about this, this will stop immediately.
Yeah, but that's not going to stop any good lawyer who knows what the hell they're doing.
Why are you doing this? But it says right here, upon John Syracuse's request, we will immediately cease and desist, transfer the domain name to him, hand over all content within, provide him with all source code and assets, and apologize repeatedly in public and in private.
Jesus, that's pretty extreme.
Well, I'm trying to be a good person here, okay? But I'm not telling him, so I guess that's not helping in my favor. Okay, anyway, let me play. So if anybody has never heard the episode of, was it ATP that had the Windows of Syracuse County? I think that was ATP. Go find the Windows of Syracuse County on ATP. It is a treasure. It is the most beautiful thing you will listen to. And then re-listen to this clip that I'm about to play. This is from, what's it called? Grumpy Geeks or something like that? What's it called?
Grumpy Old Geeks.
Okay. Grumpy Old Geeks podcast.
I reopened Edge and clicked on the restore button that's part of Edge, but Edge crashes and closes again after a minute of trying to restore my 1,600 open tabs.
You're doing it wrong, buddy. You're doing it wrong.
I don't think you understand internet.
No, you don't know how the fuck to use the internet.
Have you heard of Bookmark?
Nope. They just keep open.
1,600 tabs. It's like when I see somebody's phone and they have like 8,000 unread emails and I just want to tear my skin off my face.
Oh, I've seen them over 100,000. I've seen them over 100,000 unread messages in an email. And I'm just like,
have
the
decency to turn off the number on your icon, sir.
God, I'm just like, how dirty are your private parts?
Because you
have to be a filthy human being if you can't get rid of your emails.
I agree with everything they said. See, now, like, John Syracuse's use case would drive me insane. I am more like John Syracuse than I'm like Marco and Casey. I don't close stuff all the time. I leave stuff open for long periods of time, and I go back to it. But I'm way more on the end of the spectrum approaching them than I am on the end of the spectrum approaching John Syracuse, who has billions of windows open, each with their own amazing set of tabs, many terminal windows open, and somehow he just thinks that in his brain he's going to know how to find that instantly and that he's more efficient that way.
1,600 tabs.
I will put a link in the show notes for the Windows of Syracuse County. You have to. That's all I'm going to say.
Another good episode. Yes. Well, on that note, I think we should wrap up this show. What do you think?
I think so.
But before we do that, shouldn't we tell people where to find us?
Yeah, we should tell people where to find us, Peter.
Well, you can find me, the easiest way is on nicolaitis.com. And then from there, you've got links to all of the things, including my Mastodon account.
You can find me at scottwilsey.com. I don't know if there's links to everything on there, but there's a link to my Mastodon. Also, as you know, if you're listening to this, you might know that there's friendswithbrews.com. You also might know now, because we talked about it, that there's syracusasays.com. And yeah, you can find us and you can search for beers on our website. Please use the search function and search for Belching Beaver. It'll be there by the time you listen to this.
There you go.
There you go. All right, Peter, hit your big red button.